Blog Talk Radio. This is the EWN Radio Network.
Yes, our whole being shifts gears, and we get to know who we really are. In those moments when we have this sense of safety, there's a way that our whole system starts to run on oxygen. Our red blood cells start to carry more oxygen. I mean, it's quite a marvelous, marvelous thing.
Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the special series we're featuring here on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Life Interrupted Radio. Oh, my goodness, it's my weekend. I hope it's the start of yours. It's the start of a new year. Wow. I was reflecting back on my year with friends. So many wonderful things happened, so many amazing things happened, and the fascinating part of it was how fast it all happened. I hope to be able to maybe slow time down a little bit this year, being more mindful. I work very hard to be mindful, but this year was one of my resolutions, was to even be more present in the moment, to enjoy more of those moments in our life. I hope you've made some resolutions too. I know sometimes they're tough to stick to, but I like to make them anyway, just to make sure that I am setting a true course, a course that I want to be on, and know that I can always course correct throughout my year. I have invited back one of the most popular guests we had from last year's Life Interrupted Radio, because not only is she a popular guest, but she is a fantastic wealth of knowledge. Her name is Sarah Payton, and I'll introduce her in just a moment. But a little bit of background, and one of the reasons I invited her back beyond being one of the most popular guests we've ever had, is I was listening to an interview of a fellow who had written a book, and it was a fascinating tale of his life and how he presented his life being born a person of a minority ethnicity in his culture. And what was fascinating to me that got me thinking, have you ever had those times when you hear something out loud and you go, I've been thinking that for a while, but I've just never heard it expressed? And he expressed this idea of being born into this underlying culture of fear. Because of his ethnicity in the larger area that he was born, he was mentioning how, you know, everyone he knew had this sort of unspoken fear. He knew it was different than the other people he knew out there beyond his own family, his own culture, his own ethnicity. And it got me to thinking about my own, and that was being female. And there are a lot of fears that as females we have that I know as some of the guys I know, they don't have. They look at me kind of strange when I might mention certain fears that I have for my own safety. I asked Sarah to come on and talk to us about this idea of these silent, quiet fears. Sometimes they're cultural, oftentimes unspoken. You just sometimes grow up with them. I asked Sarah Payton. She's an international speaker facilitator and has a passion for weaving together neuroscience knowledge and experiences of healing to unify people with their brains and bodies. So So as you can see why I wanted her to talk to me about this idea. I wanted to explore the idea of fear and this quiet, what I call quiet sort of river of fear behind the scenes, and how that could be possibly harming our health or not. I want to explore it with Sarah here. And Sarah takes the research from interpersonal neurobiology and makes it available for our embodied brains to use in living at peace with ourselves. You know, she's funny and touching and filled with amazing stories and up-to-date research on our nervous system and how it interacts with our bodies and how our nervous system interacts with each other nervous systems in our field, and how she just changes lives with and invites self-acceptance and self-compassion. So welcome, Sarah. Thank you so much for being back on Life Interrupted Radio.
Oh, Sharon, it's so good to be with you again, and Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you too, my dear. And thank you for being on here to talk to us about a subject that, you know, I don't hear mentioned very much, but just from my own experience of healing the past 2 years and working very hard to explore all different realms of it, the one area I don't hear a lot about, or at least I'll say in the modern Western medical area, I've had to go outside of that to find it, is the not only the mind-body connection, but things about limiting beliefs that we have and how that can play into our healing. And when I heard this interview about this idea that he felt he had been born into this culture of fear, and how he described it, I wish I'd written it down, but it wasn't, you know, being terrified kind of fear. It was just, so I'll say, this underlying energy of always just being very, very hyper aware of your circumstances and who you're with and things going on around you, more than what I'll say he felt was normal. And I could relate to that being female, that a lot of times I've been in circumstances where that hyper awareness has been activated too. Let's talk a little bit about, well, first I'll just let you jump in with where you'd like to start, just with that whole topic and how our nervous system works.
Yeah, sure. The most important thing to know, if anybody out there is resonating with what Sharon is saying, and I certainly am, the very first starting point to acknowledge in terms of fear and an underlying kind of stream of fear that may be always flowing through us is that it really impacts our health and our nervous system to live with that level of fear. And let's just name that the part of the brain that is the kind of emotional alarm system, the part of the brain that's filtering all of our incoming sensory perceptions, is called the amygdala, and it's located deep in the brain behind the eyeballs, deep in there. And it's actually sending a kind of wave of scan throughout the brain 4 times a second. Four times a second. That little structure inside of us is like, it's like a little lighthouse that's sending a beam of light that sweeps through the whole brain, and it's asking the question, am I safe? Do I matter? So 4 times a second. Am I safe? Do I matter? Am I safe? Do I matter? Am I safe? Do I matter?
Obsessive.
Yeah. Well, it's constant. And of course, if it gets a yes, I'm safe. Yes, I matter. Then we kind of start humming along. Everything goes well when we're humming along. When the answer to that question of being safe and mattering gets answered with a yes, our whole being shifts gears. And we kind of get to know who we really are. In those moments when we have this sense of safety, there's a way that our whole system starts to run on oxygen. Our red blood cells start to carry more oxygen. I mean, it's quite a marvelous, marvelous thing. We're kind of made, I think I said this the last time we were together, Sharon, the way that we're made is to be held with warmth and resonance in our communities. That's how our bodies relax the most. That's how our immune systems function the best. And so this question that you're putting your finger on the pulse of here about women And safety is very important.
I find it interesting that the brain is, the amygdala is not only asking, am I safe, but do I matter? And what came to my mind, and maybe this is a tangent, but you know me, I love to run down these, was this concept of not only, I'll say, safe in some of the ways that we're thinking, like our physical safety, but what got me to thinking was also how many times I hear of people in my work and exploring with autoimmune, oftentimes these people are highly sensitive people, and one of the things that comes to mind are sometimes tremendous amounts of misplaced guilt, misplaced sensitivities, like they're feeling terribly guilty over something they had no control of or that happened to someone else, yet they're feeling it. I'm just interested in that. I don't really call that fear, but I imagine the body might react similar if it's all within that same question.
Yes. There are a number of different ways in which that question, and I love it that you've brought out that there's a difference between our traditional sense of safety and this sense of kind of, so I like to call it social safety.
Oh, I like that, social safety.
Yeah, a sense that when we're in a group, we've got some influence, that our voice will be heard, that our point of view matters, that our needs are important to the people that we're with, that we will be considered. All of these things are key. And we see them being important not just for humans, but for any primate group. But we can see the same kind of social stressors that the creatures who are not receiving the social support end up with less robust health, end up with more stress and less pleasant lives. It's really all about how we are such deeply social beings. We, as humans, are made to be. We are made to matter. We are made to know ourselves most fully when we matter. So that kind of takes us back into this question of gender and the question of, as women or as people of any group that could be considered a minority group in any society, you know, do we have a voice? If we say no, will that voice be heard? I mean, this starts so early. The very first differentiation, really, that babies start to make is they start to kind of differentiate between men and women. And then the second, or very closely related differentiation that gets made is, are people trustworthy? Babies start to evaluate trustworthiness and generosity. The likelihood that another person is going to take an action that will help someone who's in trouble. Babies track this. It's so amazing.
Wow. This is so fascinating to me that when you speak of it, it's very intuitive. It's making very clear sense that, it would start from the moment of awareness, the moment of life. It makes a clear sense. And then I begin to think how, if some of those answers are maybe not, or I'm not safe here, or I'm not getting a consistent response, or even worse, I'm not getting the response, the social safety, the social support response,
right,
for healthy growth, I could see how that could begin to affect not only our mental health, but our physical health as well, just from the stress of it all.
Yes, it's so true. And in all of these cases, as we're working with, looking at the impact of, for example, poverty in early life, I don't know that anybody's really done gender-related studies, but certainly there have been studies about the impact of what is called microaggressions on health. We'll come back to that in a moment. But as we begin to see, I mean, these babies are making these patterns and understandings about both gender and about generosity and kindness before their capacity for language is even coming on board. So there are deep currents in the human brain. When you said we might be kind of born into fear, it's such an interesting comment. It's so true. We can almost be born into it. Certainly in those early days of being inside of our mother's tummies, we integrate how safe she feels in the world. That's kind of our thermostat starting point for an anticipation of whether the world is a safe place or a dangerous place. It's starting even before we're born. There's an impact that's happening at 3 months of gestational life on an infant's developing cells of the amygdala. The infant is starting to integrate, is their mom safe? Does their mom matter? And what we see is that warm and resonant maternal care actually brings children into a place of resiliency that they carry with them for the rest of their lives. So warm maternal care actually compensates for the deleterious effects of poverty, which have quite a strong impact on people's health and well-being. So I'm imagining that warm maternal care is also something that would help to create resiliency for girl children coming into a world where there might be experiences, girl children experiencing themselves being discounted or not mattering or being in physical danger or seeing other women or girls experiencing this. I mean, this takes us right into the question of what are children seeing in media, you know? What are we seeing in the media around us? How often do we see women not experiencing safety, not experiencing resiliency in adventure movies or so on?
Amazing, amazing. Well, we need to take a quick commercial break. Sarah, with you, time just flies, because I'm always so fascinated about all your insights. But we'll be back in just a quick moment after this commercial break and talk to Sarah more. And this is fascinating to me about the types of things we've been talking about, the early lives, our early experiences. And when we come back with Sarah, we'll jump forward in time. And if this has been resonating with you as far as your early life, or you know someone that's had an early similar life, what can we do in the here and now? So we'll be back with Sarah in just a moment to talk about that.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Welcome back to Life Interrupted Radio. I'm Sharon Saylor, your host for Life Interrupted Radio from SharonSaylor.com, as well as MindfulnessInActionBook.com. I'm here with Sarah Payton. She's an international speaker and facilitator and has this amazing passion and expertise to weave together the neuroscience knowledge and experiences of healing that unify people with their brains and their bodies. And that's part of why I had her here today, because I wanted to talk to her about healing from autoimmune and what part our brains, our past, the memories that we hold, and our bodies play together. And Sarah is a certified trainer in nonviolent communication. She's on the faculty of the Birthing Way Midwifery College teaching communication. She's an experienced facilitator of family constellation work and speaks and writes internationally on the confluence of both nonviolent communication and constellation work and the world of neuroscience research, including guest lecturing at the International Systematic Constellations Association intensive in Germany in 2014 and 2015. And so you could tell she's just a wealth of knowledge here. Thank you, Sarah, for being my guest. And the first part of our interview was fascinating about our early lives. My question is now, this is very much resonating for me, and I'm sure for many of the listeners out there. What can we do in the here and now? If this has resonated with us, or we know someone and we go, oh my goodness, that's, you know, my friend or my friends, how can we bring this knowledge? Okay, so we grew up with this sort of underlying fear, and I want to be clear that this isn't always have to be a fear for your life or domestic violence kind of fear. It can even be a lower level undercurrent of just not feeling safe. Perhaps somebody in your family, you know, is emotionally says terrible things or doesn't support you in the ways that you feel that, like that answering that question of do I matter. So it's not always the big kinds of fears. It can be any sort of feeling safe or do I matter answer that isn't positive. But let's bring it to the here and now, and that's resonating for us. We can say, oh my goodness, that was in my past or that was in my friend or family's past, and we want to be of help to them. What are some things that we can do if we're really resonating with this?
Sure. Well, let's just start. The most important thing is having warmth for ourselves. I had mentioned before the break about warm maternal resonance and care. We, as each of us, as we step into adulthood, get to transform the internalized mother. We get to create a self that holds us with so much gentleness and understanding and powerful resonance. We get to bring our full strength, the full strength of our compassion, which as women we so often can recognize when we're confronted with someone else who is in need, but we can have such a difficult time bringing that care and attention to ourselves. So I'm just going to invite everybody who's listening to this radio show to think about who do you take the best care of in the world, and invite you to take that level of care for yourself, that level of understanding, that level of forgiveness, that level of resonance, that level of warmth. This is a challenge. This is your 2016 challenge. See if you can spend this year taking as much care of yourself as you take of the person you take the very best care of in this world.
Oh my goodness, Sarah, that is profound. That is profound. I'm sure that is absolutely reflecting on many of our listeners here when they can think of that question. And the first answer was, who do you take the very best care of? How many times it wasn't themselves.
Yeah. Well, we aren't really, you know, it's not a culturally supported action. You know, I mean, it is so important, and it creates such a fabulous foundation of resiliency and good health, and yet we so rarely hear it spoken of.
Oh, so true. One of the things that I wanted to bring up, too, that happens often at this time of year is the profound awareness of it, because the holidays just seem to heighten all the family rivalries and family problems, and it doesn't even have to be our smaller family, it could be, you know, the larger family as well, or the community. And it seems to heighten this time of where we become very aware. I've had a couple of acquaintances say to me, you know, after these holidays, I realized I really just don't like my family. And one of the things I've invited them to say, to do is, you know, you're an adult now. You can choose who you be with, who you spend time with.
Yeah. Beautiful. So there's that self-warmth piece. And also, as you're saying, like choosing, exercising our power to choose. Very important. And then another interesting little piece of learning here is this interesting word, microaggressions. So actually, when they track this, they've done it, there's a number of different research articles where they've tracked the health and well-being of people who are receiving these small discounting comments. So, for example, if we're talking about microaggressions to women, girls, you know, he's screaming like a little girl.
Yeah, or he throws like a girl. He runs like a girl.
Yes, yes. Every time that the word girl is matched with something negative, it actually has an impact on the health of the women who are hearing the comment.
Fascinating.
Yes. And so it's important to begin. We often would wonder, why would we say anything? This person obviously is not, you know, in a position of power over us. We don't really care what they think. Why would we even speak up? Why would we waste the emotional energy? But it's interesting to note that it provides a health benefit to the person who speaks if they challenge it, if they say, hey, I'm a woman, and I don't appreciate that. Or, hey, I really want every human being to be able to express their emotions, and there's something about when we say, cry like a little girl, that sounds like crying is a bad thing, and I would love to live in a world where men could cry. You know, these kinds of things where we actually speak up, allow ourselves to notice that we are impacted by these tiny comments, by these small slights, by these discountings, that it actually is a contribution to our health and well-being if we claim the space. Why is this important to us? Even if it's not, you know, heard by the other person, it actually creates space for our immune system to exist. So that's another thing that I'd like to advocate for, is self-expression.
Oh my goodness, I'm glad you bring that up. And I was listening to another podcast recently. It was actually about a piece of software that you could put into your email and keeps track of how many times you say just or or sorry or some other language softening types of words. And I thought it was very interesting because obviously it was to the female demographic. It was not but it's not a piece of software that the men I've talked to about it relate to at all. And what I found fascinating in that conversation about this piece of software were a couple of women who were talking about this idea of disclaimers, disclaiming language. But when I listened to them, as they described their own insights and things, there were other versions of discounting software, discounting vocabulary that they were using, such as the one expert said at the end, well, I don't know for sure. And I thought, well, she just said that she was an expert, and now she's saying, I don't know for sure. But it was fascinating to me to listen to how we ourselves discount. And I love this idea of microaggressions, and I can see that it's different than passive-aggressive. That is very different than passive-aggressive. But then also how, even with our own language, we're often discounting ourselves.
So true, yes. And in order to be accepted, you know, I mean, this is part of the cultural juggernaut of the need for acceptance. You know, there's such a strong current against women having strength, against women speaking, you know, plain speaking. Where we are standing against a stream, the stream of belonging, when we begin to take a stand. And and family cultures will have particular ways that they expect women to behave, and geographic cultures and religious cultures and ethnic cultures. We're within so many different pools of culture, and for women there's quite a strong overlapping pressure from many of these different circles of culture to make ourselves softer, rounder, have less sharp edges in order to really belong and to be, you know, in quotation marks, feminine.
I'm glad you put that in quotation marks. And my audience knows that I work a lot with professional women. And even there, I notice it and encourage them to do what I call play a game. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it feels safer if we're playing it as a game than outright doing it at first until we can get make sure that we're safe. And one of the games I encourage them to play is next time you're in a business meeting, drop the language softeners.
Yes.
When you have a great idea, just speak it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, well, I've heard this in meetings where I heard this woman go, well, I don't know if this idea would work or not. I'm like, just throw the idea out there. As
yeah.
All the other people, or I'll just say the males, were throwing the ideas out there. It was a brainstorming session. I encourage them to play with this the next time you're in a group or in a meeting. Just say it. Drop the language softeners. Drop the sorries, the well, or all of these little things that we do that I'll say soften the blow, even though oftentimes it's nothing to be sorry about or the blow doesn't need to be softened, yet we do it.
Well, I think you're bringing us right back to this place that we started out in, which is about whether or not women are standing in a stream of fear. I mean, we're both kind of inviting with this request for self-expression and also this countercultural request for self-warmth. We're inviting women to stand up. And certainly this current of fear that people may carry within themselves could be something that needs to be really acknowledged and held with great gentleness. If it's scary to do these things that Sharon and I are offering as possibilities, just to really create a warmth for our own scared selves, you know.
And if it is scary and you tell you this is resonating with you, I encourage you to do it with the people that you feel safest with, and
mm-hmm.
Invite them into the game,
mm-hmm.
saying, you know, I heard this, and this is what I want to try. I want to do the next week without saying just or sorry or, you know, whatever your famous go-to language softeners are. And play with those that are closest to you, the safest people in your world, and invite them to play the game with you and point out. Because oftentimes, when I first started playing these games, I wasn't aware of how invasive it was in my language years ago. You and I both have the dear friend Michael Grinder, and he's the one that started me playing that game. And I was so unaware of how pervasive it was in my language at the time. And I still do it every so often. But having someone safe in your world play the game with you, and in a loving, fun way, just remind you of, can we say that in a way without being sorry? Or just that smile, or that raised eyebrow, or that wink of like, gotcha. It can be quite helpful in being aware, consciously aware,
yes.
of how often we do it, because as Sarah and I have been sharing here, this comes from the very beginning. So many of the things we might not be at least 100% consciously aware that we're doing.
So true.
And what are some of the ways you've found? I know that in my world, when I am feeling unsafe, it causes a lot of stress. Stress is, there's many, many studies out there showing the harmful effects of stress on our body. What are some ways that you've explored this whole idea of the neuroscience and neurobiology and these micro-expressions, microaggressions, and just these underlying fears have on our health, and some other things that we can do as well. Obviously communicating, standing up, being consciously aware. What are some other things we can do?
Another very important thing to begin to practice is the art of allowing yourself to be accompanied. There's beautiful research by James M. Cohen, C-O-A-N, who shows that our brain's perception of pain and effort and stress changes entirely if we have the sense that there's someone who cares about who is with us. We're so used in North America to being the loner, you know, that lone hero who's doing it alone. You don't need anybody else. But the more that we begin to carry the people who love us with us, no matter where we go, the more we will experience ease and well-being and health benefits. So, for example, I myself grew up very much a loner, believing that I needed to do things alone. And when I read this research, I started to, again, you know, just as you said, this beautiful word play, I began to play with it. And so when I found myself experiencing stress or discomfort, in the old days, I think I mostly used to kind of hold my breath or repeat kind of phrases of prayers, really, you know, like just over and over again, little bits and snatches of prayer. And then I started to experiment with what was it like if I imagined my best friend sitting with me and holding my hand. And what was it like when I was doing something stressful, if I was going to speak to a whole bunch of people that I had never met before? What was it like if I imagined my most favorite friends that I laugh the most with just kind of standing there with me in the wings before going on stage, you know? What was it like if I started to experience physical discomfort of some kind or another and allowed myself to bring my favorite aunt at her most loving to hold my hand and stand beside me? And it was quite remarkable to notice that as I allowed myself to become accompanied with a real sense of being loved, you know, as a part of it, then there would be an automatic drop in my stress level and in my levels of pain and discomfort and worry and stress. This is something that all of us can do. We can do this even with a companion animal. You know, you can conjure your own companion animal, the dog of your childhood even, who was kind, or your favorite cat, or, you know, just let yourself move through the world not as a lone wolf, but as a part of a pack where you carry them with you and you are loved no matter what. This, again, is another kind of way to bring this sense of warmth and warm, nurturing care to ourselves, is to let ourselves be loved by humans. You know, our best friend may have very unpleasant qualities and may get really spiky and angry, but what if we bring her or him in their very best self, those moments when they have warmth, they get to be with us, letting ourselves kind of harvest the very best of what we meet in people and carry it with us.
I love that. And that's, I want to say, a little higher level than some people might be able to do. So I would love to invite another type of play, and that is if you have, I'll call it maybe a talisman or something. I have a friend that came to mind as you were saying that has a stuffed animal that a dear, dear, dear friend gave to them. Mm. And this poor thing is getting a little, you know, frayed around the edges, shall we say. And it's just a tiny little thing. But they carry it everywhere with them.
Oh, beautiful.
As a reminder. It's it's an actual physical reminder. So as you're working through the process of being able to have the person or the feeling, the animal, whatever it is with you energetically, if it's helpful to come with a little bit of an event or a person or a thing or whatever that is, sometimes a piece of jewelry or something else is a visual reminder, a physical reminder that can bring you back to that energetic place easily and quickly as you begin to develop those skills of being able to do it without an actual physical presence or, someone actually holding your hand or something like that. It's kind of that little gateway between the two.
Yes, and so many women live in a world where they don't really have anybody who's taking care of them. They're taking care of a lot of people, but nobody's taking care of them. This brings us back to my 2016 challenge here. I challenge you to go and buy yourself a talisman. Buy yourself something that you will then carry with you that will be a representative of the warmth that you have for yourself. If you don't have a friend who has given you this sweet thing, then go ahead and get this. Get this and carry it with you and touch it and let it remind you that you matter and that you are important.
That. But what you need, the one thing came to mind, Sarah, is I'm thinking of a couple of women popped into my head, and I was going to tell them about that, but the minute I thought, you know what? They're going to be the type that will limit what they get.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'll say, oh, well, it was on sale, or, it was in the bargain bin. You know what? Please, no bargain bins unless you absolutely can't live without it. Sometimes there is something in the bargain bin you can't live without. But please, this is not about bargain binning your talisman. This is about getting something that is truly meaningful and will give you that feeling of warmth and safety and connection that you've placed in it. So please, no bargain bin unless, like I said, sometimes you get lucky, but please, no bargain bin. Well, we need to take a quick commercial break, but as you can tell, Sarah and I, we just love sort of going all over the place with these wonderful ideas we share all the time. And she's just a wealth of knowledge, and I just love taking tangents and sometimes even running down rabbit holes with Sarah. But we need to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back in just a few minutes, or couple of minutes here, and we'll be back with Sarah, and we'll talk some more about how we can continue to heal ourselves and other things that we can do, and then obviously we'll talk maybe about a couple more 2016 challenges here, but we'll be back in just a moment.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Welcome back to Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com and MindfulnessInActionBook.com. You can always get other amazing podcasts over at LifeInterruptedRadio.com. Sarah's other interviews are over there as well as many, many other experts in the field of healing, autoimmune, and general life interruptions. And Sarah is our guest again today. She's an international speaker and facilitator, and she is just amazingly gifted at weaving together neuroscience knowledge and experiences of healing to unify you, to connect you as a whole person. How many times I'm thinking of growing up as a child, now I know this sounds funny, I think I was a young teenager before I realized the mind, body, and spirit were all connected. In my mind and in the religion I was raised, I really thought that it was 3 separate entities. And I have wondered for a long time how many people really have trouble understanding there is a brain-body connection. Let's talk a little bit about ways that, like me, if it took a little while to dawn on, hey, it's all connected, ways that we can begin to connect the two so the brain and the body can communicate and be as one in the process of healing here.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Well, there are a couple different things that are really sweet to know that are real helpful for bringing the brain and the body together. And one of them is, first of all, that there's a part of the brain that gets turned off if nobody's ever really kind of been with us who had this sense of unity, unification. And that little part of the brain is called the insula, and it's the part of the brain that actually interfaces between the amygdala and the part of our brain that kind of is the intentional thinking part, the wise part. If nobody's ever really been interested in what our physical experience is of existing on this planet, then it's very likely that that little piece of tissue doesn't even know how to be alive. So part of what you offer, Sharon, when you're talking about mindfulness, is you're inviting people to come into relationship with the present moment, and probably also with their breath. And this is an approach to mindfulness and to self-connection for all of the millennia that humans have been conscious. This, when we bring our attention to our breath, what starts to happen is that we're actually feeling the inside of our body. This is a word for this called interoception. Perception is, you know, what we're perceiving from the outside. But interoception is the knowing of the inside of our bodies. And when we bring our attention to our breath, so just for a moment, as you're breathing, I invite you to notice, where is that breath most alive? Where do you feel the most alive sensation of breath? It might be, if you've got a stuffed nose, it might be inside your mouth. If you're breathing through your nose, it might be inside your nostrils, or there might be a coolness inside your upper sinuses. Or you may feel the most movement in your ribs as you inhale or exhale. Wherever it is, if you bring your attention to that place, you're actually doing interoception. You're perceiving the inside of your body. And you're awakening this little piece of tissue called the insula. So as you do this, kind of inviting everybody to do this along with me, just let yourself notice that place of aliveness of your breath. And then you'll notice that your attention sits with it for a little minute, and then it skips and hops away. And we can actually be really gentle and warm with our attention. We can say, thank you, attention. Thank you for trying to bring me to whatever you think is most important. I wonder if you would be willing to come back to my breath. And if you even do this three times with three breaths once a day, you're starting to change your brain. You're changing the way your brain can kind of hold itself with gentleness. So this is a very tangible, practical approach to this idea of our 2016 challenge of holding yourself with warmth. How's that to hear, Sharon?
I was mesmerized, as always, my dear. Sorry, it took me a second to come back. But I'm here now. Oh my gosh, that was a delightful feeling. I was breathing, and actually I was feeling, as you mentioned, in your, maybe in your nose or in your mouth or in your sinuses, in your ribs, I was actually feeling it in all of those places as you brought my attention to them, which was wonderful. And as you know, I am a huge fan of breathing on so many levels, just not only just to keep me from turning blue and passing out, but once I understood the power of breathing, everything changed in my world. And it wasn't just this idea of breathing for health. So many things change. Your self-awareness changes. Your awareness of others change. It's just amazing when we turn our attention to our breathing and how we breathe. And it, one thing that I took was a breathing class at one time, and it's a form of yoga. I believe it's pronounced pranayama yoga. What fascinated me during that time as well was on some of the deep belly breathing, there would be moments, or longer than moments, of real emotion. People would be tapping into emotional places through practiced and intentional breathing. And I found that concept fascinating with intentional breathing, how you could really connect not only, I mean, people are thinking the brain is one thing, but the emotional centers of the brain with the physical action of breathing. It was fascinating to me.
One of the things I love to do is to inquire with body sensations, if this were an emotion, what emotion would it be? If this pain in my neck were an emotion, what emotion would it be? Would it be rage? Would it be grief? Would it be fear? If I, and when I've been thinking about the conversation we've had today, Sharon, I'm thinking about this sense of a quiet, deep fear. If we were to find that in our body, this fear that Sharon has been speaking about, that women have or that minorities might have, when we bring our attention there to explore, where is this in our body? And if we bring warmth and gentleness, and maybe we would cup our hands in our imagination around this place that we find, maybe it's deep in our belly, we would cup our hands around it and say, of course you're scared. You know, kind of like if this is like the little girl self or the little child self, of course you're scared. Do you need to know that you matter in this world? So that coming with that gentleness, with that of course, any sense that there's a pain that might possibly have an emotional tone, bringing that, of course, is just a very different way to be with our emotional.
Oh my goodness, that brought up two things for me. But first, I wanted to share, years and years ago, my massage therapist to this day, we've been friends for, I don't know, over 30 years, but years and years ago when I first started seeing her, I had this particular pain in my shoulder. And, oh, in her own beautiful way, it was some time into, you know, I'd known her for a while, so there was a lot of trust and safety there. She just gently said to me one time, you know, if you just take the knife out of your back, I think this would all be so much better. So she and I both knew what and who that was in reference to, and yeah. that isn't germane to the story today. But just, I love the idea when you said, reflecting into if these certain pains and things going on in our body and asking what the emotional component is. Which brings me to one thing that you mentioned in our last interview that resonated with so many people, and I want you to share it again, and that's the concept of the phrase, no wonder.
Yeah.
Please describe that again of how we say to ourselves, which is very similar to your, of course, you shared with this idea of no wonder.
Yeah, no wonder. No wonder you're scared. If you think about being a woman in this culture, and about the way in which you may have experienced lack of safety or lack of mattering, or the way that you may have seen other women not be held with respect or not be held with consideration. And so we would just say, no wonder. And when we say, no wonder, it's like there's a relaxation that comes through the whole body. We don't have to fight that. We don't have to be in that constant stream that women so often step into where they're saying, you're too sensitive. If you would just let it go. What are you still obsessing about that for? That happened 20 years ago. Why does that still bother you? Instead of discounting our own selves, if we come to that place of no wonder, well, no wonder you still remember that. That hurt. There's an entirely different kind of relaxation that happens in the whole body. It's sort of like the moving into a willingness to say ouch instead of trying to manage our pain by telling ourselves that it doesn't hurt
or it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Amazing. Well, my goodness, Sarah, as always, our time just flies by, but I want the audience to know exactly how to get a hold of you and more about what you have out there and are doing out there in 2016. So if you could share with the audience a little bit about your website and all the amazing work that you're doing, that would be fantastic.
Website is empathybrain.com, just one word, empathybrain.com. There's a whole world of experience there in that website. There's all of the teleseminars that I've been teaching over the past 4 years. There's a whole series about healing attachment and different seminars about addiction. There's different ways that we can use language to heal one another, to heal ourselves. This year in 2016, there's a monthly teleseminar series where you can get podcasts every month about a different issue to do with attachment or healing or health or well-being. There's going to be one, you've mentioned highly sensitive people. There's going to be a June teleseminar devoted entirely to the research about highly sensitive people. A monthly opportunity to hear the way that I use language to do healing work. How do we speak with one another in ways that let the brain really change and heal? And that happens on Tuesday afternoons once a month, so that's another thing that's available on the website. And then working with me in person, I'll be all over the world this year. I will be working here in close to Portland, Oregon. I will also be in Germany, in Japan in the fall, be in Canada several times. There's a public workshop coming up in January in Vancouver, BC. I'll be in Santa Cruz for a grief workshop coming up very soon, I think in February. So lots of opportunities to come together and learn and support one another, develop deep and rich community, have experiences of mattering. Thank you so much, Sharon, for this opportunity to speak with you and your listeners today. It's such a deep pleasure to be in this conversation with you.
Oh, as always, my dear Sarah, it's just fantastic that I was able to snag you for just a little snippet of time here. I know your work is, you're just all over the world and sharing your valuable work. If you could, just in closing, share our 2016 challenge one final time. And we'll be sure and put that on the website too, but I just wanted to make sure, coming from your beautiful, lovely voice with your wonderful language, to share that 2016 challenge one final time.
For each of you who are listening today, or any day, my challenge to you is to spend the next 365 days, count them out in your calendar, spend the next 365 days making sure that you take as good care of yourself as you take of the person that you've been taking the best care of last year. So choose whoever that person or even that companion animal might be. If it's your house, my goodness, so many women take beautiful care of their houses. If it's your house, take as good care of yourself as you do of your house. Take as good care of yourself as you do of your beloved grandmother. Take as good care of yourself as you do of your partner. See what it's like. If you were this other person, what would you do? How would you know yourself? What would you choose for yourself? How would you arrange your calendar? How would you feed yourself? How would you make sure that you got rest and sleep?
Thank you so much. I love that. I love that. Everyone, as always, thank you for being here on Life Interrupted Radio. Join me next week, Friday, 7 p.m., for a new episode. Have a great week, whatever your adventures. Enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator, Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
This is the EWN Radio Network.